You're listening to China Africa Talk.
Jambo, ni Bridget akikuletea kipindi kinachohusiana na China na Afrika.
Vous écoutez le dialogue sino-africain avec Bridget.
Everything China, everything Africa.
Olá, você está ouvindo China Africa Talk com Bridget.
سيدتي وسادتي مرحبا بكم في الحوار الصيني العربي مع بريجيت.
It's great to have you back on the program. You're listening to China Africa Talk. I'm your host, Bridget Mutambirwa, coming to you from the Chinese capital in Beijing with more discussions on what's happening with China and Africa from a Chinese and African perspective. This year marks the 35th anniversary of diplomatic ties between China and Namibia. The two countries established diplomatic ties on March 22, 1990, the second day after Namibia gained independence. The traditional friendship began in the 1960s when China provided unwavering support for Namibia's struggle for national independence. Over the decades, China and Namibia have remained steadfast partners in each other's development. China has long been Namibia's second largest trading partner and a key source of foreign investment. Their cooperation spans diverse fields, including infrastructure, agriculture, mining, education and healthcare, which have been bearing fruitful outcomes, yielding tangible benefits for both countries. As the two countries continue to strengthen their collaboration, what role has China played in Namibia's modernization efforts, and what new areas of collaboration could China and Namibia look into to further benefit their people? To delve into our discussion, I'm now joined by Penny Tuna Magdalena Ukunde, Regional Development Economist with China's University of International Business and Economics, and Liu Dianbo, Director of the Confucius Institute at the University of Namibia. I'll start addressing you there, Dr. Ukunde. China and Namibia have enjoyed long-standing diplomatic relations, established the second day after Namibia gained independence in 1990. How would you characterize the bilateral ties, and what milestones have stood out for you?
China and Namibia's relationship isn't just about trade. It's about history, solidarity, and a long-term strategic cooperation. Even before Namibia gained independence, China stood with us, supporting SWAPO's liberation struggle in the 60s and 70s. Chairman Mao, an anti-imperialist stand, was something that Namibia resonated with, and that's what led to our independence. And that's why on March 21st, 1990, when Namibia gained independence, China stood with us the very next day, not just as a partner, but as a long-standing ally. If I'm to talk about the milestones for us as Namibians, there was a visit which then upgraded our ties to comprehensive strategic partnership of cooperation. That was a huge highlight for us. But I cannot go on about milestones without talking about the investment that China has had in Namibia. We have a mine called Husab Mine, which is a $4.6 billion investment. We also have the Rossing, which was expanded, and this was taken over by the China National Uranium Corporation. Can you imagine Namibia having an investment with the China National Uranium Corporation? So that was one of a huge highlight. One of my favorites, because I'm a meat lover.
Okay.
With agriculture, Namibia was the first country in Africa to be permitted to export beef to China. This happened in 2018, and it was expanded last year with Hawkak to goat and sheep meat. And then there's infrastructure. With regards to infrastructure, we've got a port, Walvis Bay Port, and a Chinese state company has been the one that has been expanding it, which is also in line with the Belt and Road Initiative for connectivity within the region. And then I cannot go on without talking about education, but I believe Professor Liu can go further with that. I can just say that we're recipients of about 200 scholarships annually, government scholarships, for skill development in China. I believe Professor Liu could go on more about this.
Professor Liu, in addition to what Dr. Ukunde has highlighted there.
I know that Dr. Sam Nujoma, the founding president, our father of the Namibia nation, also as the founding chancellor of our University of Namibia,
right,
signed an MOU with the China University of Geosciences, Beijing, during his visit to China in 2006 on behalf of our University of Namibia. Since then, the two universities have developed a long-term cooperation. China University of Geosciences, Beijing, have trained more than 40 students for Namibia, and some of their students have returned to work in the University of Namibia with doctoral or master's degree, and some have returned to work in Namibia
right.
with a bachelor's degree, contributing to the development of Namibia.
Okay. Yes. Dr. Okunde, Namibia was the first stop on Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi's first overseas trip of the year in Africa. Now, Wang Yi emphasized China's commitment to supporting Namibia's economic development by helping transform its resource advantages into development and societal benefits, jointly advancing modernization in both countries. Now, what are your thoughts on this statement, and just how would you assess China's role in Namibia's modernization efforts? Maybe share with some examples.
Sure. I'd first like to start off by just concluding from the previous question.
Okay.
I would like to start by stating that our partnership has evolved from ideological support to a comprehensive strategic partnership, shaping Namibia's global economic position in a multipolar world.
Right.
I wanted to say that because this leads me into what I'm going to say next.
Okay.
Foreign Minister Wang Yi's visit, first of all, what stood out for me personally, that the gesture was received
mm-hmm.
and it was clear. And it was also an endorsement on Namibia's, this is my personal opinion, because I've seen China is very intentional. So when you see a foreign minister choosing to come there, it was with intention. And I'm also very confident that the gesture was received on our side.
Right.
With regards to how I see China's role, it's clear, but Namibia must shape its own trajectory.
Okay.
I would start with industrialization. Chinese investments in uranium are significant. The real opportunity comes from building. In my opinion, that China has shown us the way.
All right.
It has shown us where it has come from. When Deng Xiaoping came into the Chinese administration at the time, China was 30 years old. Mm-hmm. Namibia is 35. So Namibia has also matured. And now we've learned from our sisters and we would like to cooperate with them.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many aspects in which we believe there can be cooperation. But the number one, I would believe, is that we need a representative for FOCAC, one that is able to monitor mm-hmm. and also see the progress, to see how it is linked to Belt and Road.
All right.
And also to hold accountability and transparency through the process.
I was speaking with one guest last week, and mm-hmm. he was talking about how the government of Nigeria has appointed someone to be following up on the developments in that country in relation to the projects under FOCAC and Nigeria.
I believe that was a good move because it pushes the envelope from having great initiatives
mm-hmm.
on paper and then actually making sure that they are felt on the ground to the people and we see the effects of them
mm-hmm.
and to monitor the progress along the way. I would invite more countries to do so. And I believe the Chinese government would be in support for this, as they have also been saying that they would like the African partners to come in also in support. It's a partnership.
Mm-hmm. There's a saying that when a coin falls, it's not just the floor or the coin that's making
yeah.
the sound. It takes both to produce that sound.
Exactly.
Mm.
And I believe we've seen what has been on paper right now. But to monitor, because this is also the technical situations on the ground, is the bureaucracy that comes in. And what China doesn't experience that we do is change of governments. So we need to have somebody that is able to at least monitor the progress and monitor what is happening. And then if there's renegotiation that needs to happen at an earlier stage or to see from different models what is working in this and what is not working, I believe this is something that would steer us into the right direction.
Thank you for those insights there, Dr. Okunde. Coming to you there, Professor Liu, what sectors have seen the most Chinese investment in Namibia so far? And what changes or developments have you personally observed on the ground there?
In my opinion, Chinese investments in Namibia have primarily been concentrated in mining and infrastructure development.
Right.
Namibia is rich in mineral resources, and the mining industry is one of the pillar industry of Namibia's economy. Namibia is rich in uranium.
Right.
And the Chinese company have invested heavily in uranium mining projects, such as the Husab uranium mine, operated by China General Nuclear Power Group, one of the largest uranium producers globally. And also the joint Mutowa Road, built by China Henan International Corporation Group, was officially opened to the traffic on March 14th, last Friday, in Kawango East Region, northern Namibia, a major development project that not only improved local transport links, but also promotes the growth of economic activity in the community, and also in real estate and housing. There has been an increase in Chinese-funded housing projects aimed at addressing Namibia's housing shortages.
Have you had a chance to visit some of these projects, Professor Liu?
Yes, I have visited some housing projects, like the policeman housing projects.
Okay.
And also, I visited and experienced the Chinese-built road.
Mm.
Yeah. Chinese investment have contributed to job creation and infrastructure improvement, particularly in rural area.
Curious to know, how do you feel when you see some of these projects on the ground? And when you talk to people in Namibia about how they feel about these projects, what do they say?
Like the road project, many people see the Chinese company build good road and high quality.
Thank you for those illustrations there, Professor Liu. Dr. Okunde, what new areas of collaboration could Namibia and China look into to further benefit the people? We've just heard some illustrations there from Professor Liu, where he's talking about the roads that are in construction and how he's also visited some of the housing projects in Namibia under Chinese companies' construction. Now, we know China is focused on high quality development with significant advancements in fields such as artificial intelligence and space technology and green economy. But I want to know from you, what areas of collaboration could Namibia and China look into to further benefit their people?
I need to look at it from a season.
Okay.
So the season that we're in right now, China is leading the world in AI, space, technology, and green economy. Mm-hmm. These are industries that will define the next century.
Right.
Namibia can position itself in these sectors, not just as a participant, but as a value driver.
Mm-hmm.
But before we can get there, we need to first make sure that we are aligned. Not that we are not at the moment, but I'm just saying in the sense of pace.
Okay, okay.
And currently, geopolitically, what I can look at as an asset that is not really being explored is the Walvis Bay Corridor,
right,
the expansion of the port. Geopolitically, in the sense of where it connects to Brazil very easily, so South America.
Mm-hmm.
And then the thing is, what I noticed actually was during my time at home, we had the cruise ship MSC come to Walvis Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And it never usually comes to Walvis Bay, but due to the situation that is happening within the Gulf, they had to redirect their route. And in redirecting their route, it also affected our tourism.
Okay.
But then it also showed me that this town was not prepared for the tourists that were coming there.
Mm.
And this was just a simple example. So this is something that I can say that is reachable. This is something that can be expanded on. And this is something that is current. With regards to the space station, Namibia is actually a proud host of a Chinese space station.
Okay.
And I would like to hear of Namibians going to space.
Right, right.
So we need to start with education and actually having that understanding. Not many locals even have that understanding. This is also important with regards to people exchange. Do you know what pride it would take as an African just to be able to say that you have a space station?
Wow.
In general.
Yeah.
Yes. So the way that, like, you know, one has to dig up this information. So I'd also state with collaborating with regards to soft power. how do we let the people on the ground know what is going on so that they can also be a part and invested in it? Because at the end of the day, you also need the people's buy-in.
Do you feel maybe on our side, we communicate well on terms of, you know, some of these collaborations that are taking place?
I'll speak from what I've noticed when I see anything being spoken about with regards to China, whether it's in the newspaper or from People's Parliament. For the audience who might not know what People's Parliament is, when you go to the hair salon or when you sit at a restaurant, and you're listening to people's perspectives.
What they call
China.
The grapevine in other streets. Okay.
It's usually very negative, and it's because of the media they consume as well. As a person that lived in China, I remember I was in China during COVID, during the pandemic.
Okay.
And I used to receive so many calls from people asking me, are you okay? Are you fine? We're worried about you. And I was like, excuse me, I'm worried about you.
Yeah.
And also with regards to collaboration, it also brings me to, when we speak about narrative, it also brings me to the people who also carry the Chinese name, who people interact with. So it is important to actually give a narrative or at least collaborate, let's say, within media. I've seen this is starting to happen now because who owns the mind of the people controls them. And right now what they're digesting does not even give them the ability to appreciate what is coming in. And this is very important for you to make important decisions for your future.
Right.
So information is power. And I believe that if we ignore it for too long, we are also bringing a bad sentiment to a relationship that could flourish.
Professor Liu, at the 9th Forum on China-Africa Cooperation held in Beijing last year, 10 partnership action plans were unveiled to jointly advance modernization. Now, among the first was the mutual learning among civilizations. How do you read this, and what steps can China and Namibia take to strengthen mutual understanding and learning between their cultures? What's your take?
To strengthen mutual understanding and learning between Chinese and Namibia cultures, educational cooperation between students and teachers can help to enhance exchanges and mutual learning between the two countries.
I know you're a professor, you have lots of Namibian students there. How do you see this playing out?
Yes, every year, at least dozens of Namibian students study in China through scholarship provided by China, which helps to enhance in depth understanding and learning between the two sides. And also, there are some students studied in China, supported by themselves. And another one is cultural exchanges and festivals. The Confucius Institute at the University of Namibia organizes cultural festivals and events every year. Such events can help people appreciate each other's traditions. Another one is the tourist promotion. Exchanges and learning between the two countries can also be promoted through tourism. Namibia is rich in tourism resources, very different from China. For me, I traveled a lot in Namibia.
Okay, and still on you there, Professor Liu, when it comes to cultural and people-to-people exchanges, what have you observed, though, and what more could be done to promote such exchanges?
Yeah, a language training.
Okay.
The Confucius Institute at the University of Namibia offers Chinese language teaching since 2013 in primary schools, secondary schools, and the university. There are 11 teaching sites among the country. In 2024, there were more than 800 students took part in the Chinese language study.
Okay.
That not only enhanced mutual understanding, but also strengthened their overall bilateral relations, contributing to the shared growth of advancing modernization through cooperation.
Thank you, Professor Liu. And how are your students with Chinese? When they're learning Chinese, where do they use the language, Professor?
Yes, some of the students, they just interested in study Chinese. They like Chinese food, Chinese culture. And some of other students, They work in companies.
Okay.
They need no more Chinese language and can communicate to the colleague easily.
Oh, like translators as well.
Yes, some of them, they translate.
I did want to actually add on to what Professor Liu was saying, especially with regards to language. Mm. And one day I came back home from holiday from China, studying in China, and my aunt had a tour company.
Okay.
And then she asked me to, like, she called me. She's like, "Are you home?" I said, "Yes." And she came over and she's like, "Listen, I have a tour." She usually does German tours, and she has a Chinese translator, like an actual Chinese translator.
Mm-hmm.
She asked me, she's like, "Oh, you speak Chinese, right?" I'm like, "Yes." And she's like, "Okay, I have a group of tourists and I want you to go with them and you be their guide." And I was, wow, like, "Excuse me? What?" So, and then she's like, "Please, I'm going to get, your driver is going to be an actual guide. All I need you to do is basically entertain the guests." Mm. Like, that's all you have to do. They ask you questions, you just answer.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, "Okay, fine." And we went and we picked up the guests. I didn't even know you opened the door for them. So I was also like a passenger princess amongst the guests. And I've never really done tourism before. So they came and I welcomed them, like, Hwaiin, Namibia. Mm. Like, you know, from the airport to here, they're asking me questions. I'm not even going, like, because you're supposed to give an intro. They have to ask me a question. But what I'm trying to basically say is what I picked up, I then started doing tourism every holiday. I came back home to an extent where I even worked for a Chinese tour agency.
Okay.
So they would give me the itinerary in Chinese. And then I actually learned the difference of how they receive their guests and what is necessary and what is needed. And we need to actually train Namibians, because there are actual times where even tourists come in and they want a local guide.
I was actually going to ask you what initiatives could help attract more Chinese tourists to Namibia.
Yeah, well, I'll definitely say Mandarin-speaking guides, that's for sure.
Uh-huh.
And then I would also say visa fast-tracking. And it's also something that I've had to explain when I go to Home Affairs and explain that majority of our tourists or luxury tourists that come, outbound tourists, are retirees. And I've had to explain this also in different atmospheres for them to understand that there's no reason that it should take this long to have this happening. But I believe it has been heard in the right ears, because last week Namibia has launched its e-visa upon arrival.
Okay.
And I am very hopeful that it will improve our tourism. Another thing I would also like to say is payment platforms such as WeChat, Alipay.
Yes.
This would not just help with regards to tourism, but also logistics. So payment platforms, also with regards to local vendors, when many of the tourists come, because they don't go and change money, and usually they come in at a very fast period of time, they don't have time to sit in the bank and wait to do this. So it's like I see money leaving the country just because we are not able to have a platform where, you know, where trade can happen.
Mm.
So I would recommend looking at the platforms or the banking platforms such as WeChat and seeing whether we can have these exchanges and just having that understanding.
Okay. And still on you, Dr. Okunde, it is a historic time for Namibia with Nandi Ndaitwa taking office as Namibia's first female president. How do you envision the future of Namibia-China relations under her leadership?
To be honest, I'm 35 years old.
Oh, so you'll be celebrating as well with China and Namibia.
Yes. So to be honest with you, I'm also at a stage where I'm mature enough to look at the politics at home, local politics, to look at what's happening in the world.
Right.
And I couldn't be more proud, because she has decades of experience in foreign affairs, trade, and diplomacy.
Right.
I've actually looked through the different ministries that she's worked at, and I've also seen that she's got I've seen her stance. When she was a foreign affairs minister, she stood very passionately for the United Nations Security Council have a chair for Africa. So I do see that. That's one thing that she's definitely going to stand on.
Mm-hmm.
I see her, she wants to build a legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And a person that wants to build a legacy, it can only be a blessing for the nation and also for relations. She's a woman that has understood the ideology of led us to liberating our country.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe with that ideology in mind and where she wants to take the nation, I see the Namibia and China relationship thriving, going into the next level.
Wonderful words there from another woman there. Just before we wind off our discussion, let's look at some common challenges between Namibia and China. Now, in today's world of uncertainty, how can China and Namibia collaborate in addressing common challenges such as climate change, global trade and regional security, and safeguard the interests of Africa and developing countries? I'll start off with you there, Professor Leo.
Yeah, China and Namibia as friendly nations have supported and collaborated with each other on the international stage. In the face of global changes such as climate change, global trade, and region security, China is willing to work hand in hand with Namibia to strengthen cooperation, jointly address the issue, and safeguard the common interest of Africa and the developing country. China will continue to uphold the concept of our community with a shared future for mankind, actively participate in global governance, promote the construction of an open world economy, and support every country in enhancing their capacity for independent development, all of which contribute to the peace and development of the region. China development inseparable from the world and the prosperity of the world also needs China. I believe that through the joint efforts of China and Namibia, we can make a great contribution to the world peace and development.
Thank you there, Professor Liu. Dr. Kunde, your thoughts?
Well, in today's world of uncertainty, Namibia and China's partnership remains stable, but the focus should shift from projects to long-term global positioning.
Okay.
And what I mean by long-term global positioning, it also starts with Namibia. I, as a Namibian, I need to speak for Namibia. Mm-hmm. Namibia shares a very good relationship with its neighbors, and we need a stronger Namibia to be able to speak about climate. So it's a Namibia that is closer to Angola, to South Africa. We need to have a stronger voice within our region and a stronger collaboration. It's the same Namibia that has Germany all the way that side as an ally. So we need to know how to position ourselves and to strengthen our regional relationships so that we can work with the global South together in collaboration. Then we can tackle, because a climate change accord or anything that needs to be changed needs to be done with a united voice. So the only way we can do that is to first position ourselves intentionally regionally. And I believe Namibia is on a good path because we already have very cordial and actually great relationships with our neighbors. Now it's just to push the envelope to more intentionality. And then we can talk and collaborate with China.
Fair enough. Professor Liu and Dr. Kunde, I'd like to thank you for sharing your insights on the China-Namibia relations at 35 there as we commemorate the anniversary of diplomatic ties between China and Namibia.
Thank you very much for having us. To the next 35 years.
To the next 35 years. Listeners, for news updates on what's happening with China and Africa from a Chinese and African perspective, subscribe to our online newsletter on CGTN website and Substack. Search China Africa Talk. Till next time, goodbye for now. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others. Post it on social media or leave a rating and review. Thanks again. See you next time.